The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC alongside Alejandro Moreno. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to be with you. We will hear from a cast of characters throughout the show. Plenty to discuss. PSG already starting a domestic title defense, doing so without plenty of their big stars. Plus, we got to talk Premier League. That's starting this weekend as well. But why don't we start this show, at least, with La Liga. Spanish season then set to kick off this weekend, Saturday to be precise. There you see a seven-pack of games set for the weekend. You also know some big names not on that list. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atleti, and Sevilla all given the weekend off after their respective European campaigns. The big boys be forced to open up a little bit later on. And there you have it. Real Madrid, the defending champions, opening on Sunday, September 20th against Betis. Barcelona, Atleti, and Sevilla all have to wait another week. For more, we welcome in Sid Lowe. Sid, plenty to discuss. Let's start in Barcelona. Coutinho's agent has come out and said he's staying. We know Griezmann's staying. We know Messi's staying. It seems like some of the other guys that they're trying to get rid of, though, is not going so well. It's a pure mess in Barcelona on the eve of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And one of the reasons why it becomes difficult to get rid of players is because you say publicly that that's what you want to do. And that, by definition, changes the nature of the market. It makes it very hard to encourage those players out. It makes those players even more determined because they feel mistreated in some cases to stick and to push and to try and make sure they get the best possible payoff before leaving. I guess one thing I would say at this point is that it's still almost a month until the end of the transfer window. So there is still time for this. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Right now, Barcelona are in a position where those players they wanted to move on, they're finding rather hard to budge.
Of all those players, boy, the biggest head scratcher for me anyway has to be Coutinho. I mean, what can we possibly expect from him at Barcelona, Ale?
According to Ronald Koeman, a lot. And according to Barcelona, yes, this guy's been in our plans this whole time. This is the guy. He is the man. Well, you took that position because, of course, you didn't know whether Lionel Messi was going to be back. You thought that that was going to be the case. You hoped that that would be the case. But you never really knew that with some certainty. And so you had to bank on somebody. And so, of course, it would be obvious for Ronald Koeman to say, well, you know that guy that was playing for Bayern Munich? Well, okay, coming off the bench, but still playing with Bayern Munich. You know that guy that won Champions League? Okay, coming off the bench and winning Champions League, but still somehow Coutinho, for Ronald Koeman, for Barcelona, becomes an important player. Well, now that has shifted a little bit because, well, Lionel Messi is back with Barcelona, and he is going to play, and Antoine Griezmann is going to play. And so where does Coutinho fit in? What do you do with Dembele? What do you do with Ansu Fati? And so for all the need areas that you have for Barcelona, which are actually from the midfield back, you have a surplus of players from the midfield going forward. Those are decisions that Ronald Koeman is going to have to make, and one that he hasn't handled all that well, because let's just not forget that he came in saying, Luis Suarez, nah, we don't want you, we don't need you. Arturo Vidal, nah, we don't want you, we don't need you. And so if those guys are not going anywhere just yet, then, hey, what are you going to do? And how do you manage? How do you massage the situation? It's all right there for Ronald Koeman to decide.
You talk about the areas of need, Ale and Sid. I'll come to you on this. Memphis Depay is a player that they seem to be obsessed with. Shouldn't they be focused on other parts of the field?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's bizarre, isn't it, to see them chasing midfielders and chasing forwards when the problems are at the other end. It is true, of course, that they're trying to get Garcia from Manchester City, and I think that will probably run to the very end of the transfer window, not least because they're fairly confident that they would get him next year for free. And that, of course, by definition, puts some pressure on Manchester City. But yeah, it does feel like they're chasing the wrong positions. And bear in mind as well, of course, that you have plans and then you have a reality. And one of the reasons why Coutinho is still there is because, as they discovered last summer, getting a good transfer fee for him isn't easy. If there isn't a market, then there does become a time at which you look at your squad, you look at your players, and if you've got someone like Coutinho, who you're obviously trying to sell, and you think, well, we can't really find a place for this guy, so what do we do? Tell you what, we could always try playing him. And of course, that's the position they're in now.
All right, so you know I love your work, but I read your article on our website. You have compared what's going to happen with Lionel Messi in Barcelona in the coming months to Michael Jordan's last dance. Come on. That team won it all and was one of the best teams in NBA history. You surely cannot expect that from this year's Barcelona.
No, you can't expect that from this year, Barcelona. But this is the ideal scenario. Now, how do you fix a situation like this? Well, maybe you build emotionally and mentally an agreement, a kind of a collective agreement that says, right, we're in this together. It's true that we've got problems with the front office. It's true that we're not happy with the club. It's true that we believe there's only one more year left in this. But let's make that year brilliant. There are a number of reasons why this parallel breaks down. And in fairness, I did point this out in the article. And that is that while it's true that you have, almost a Jerry Krause, Michael Jordan scenario with Bartomeu and Leo Messi, you don't have, unless, by the way, Luis Suarez is forced to stay, you don't have Messi, Scottie Pippen. You don't have that player alongside him. And, of course, in that Chicago Bulls last dance, you have the coach who has been with them all the way through this. This lot have got a brand new coach. This isn't the old gang. It's one of the old gang, nothing else. And so that's where the problem lies. And also, I mean, before we get into this, and it's a much bigger debate, there is also that question, which is, in personality terms, truth be told, Lionel Messi is not Michael Jordan.
Okay. So, wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
Hashtag
so,
analysis.
So I've just ruined my own article, is what you're saying. Yeah.
So let me get this straight. So it is like the last dance until it's not like the last dance.
Absolutely.
If we're going to break some of these parallels down and see some of the contrast and difference between the two storylines, I can tell you this. Barcelona was not winning. The Bulls were winning. Barcelona has not been winning.
Yes.
And just a little small, tiny little bit detail. This was a mess even before Messi announced whether he was leaving and coming back. This was a mess before. Mm. It's been sort of like the last dance for a while now for Barcelona, and that's part of the issue. The fact that they think that Lionel Messi is going to save them and used to be making decisions based upon that. Well, it hasn't worked out just yet.
Let's switch gears. We'll talk a little bit about Real Madrid. They have a mess of their own, but not quite as big. As you can see, the cover of AS there says, ¿Qué pasa con Hazard? What's going on with Eden Hazard? And there you have Marca chiming in as well. Not a very flattering picture.
He
went away with Belgium on the international break. Roberto Martinez said he wasn't fit to play. Sid, what is going on with Eden Hazard? How worried should Real Madrid fans be?
Well, look, it's curious this, because I was asked this question a couple of months ago, and I said, oh, they shouldn't be worried because they're winning without him, they're going to win the league without him, and then you've got the summer to get him fit and get him ready for next year. The problem is, as you've just pointed out, they're looking at him now, they're looking at what happened with him being with the Belgium squad this week, and he wasn't fit enough to play, and that photograph. Now, obviously, that photograph is opportunistic. It's presumably taken at just the wrong moment, and I suspect to some extent, you can almost look for that photograph and kind of create it ever so slightly falsely, but there is still a reality there, which is that he's not fully in shape, just as he wasn't in shape when he arrived last time round. And from Real Madrid's point of view, what that does is it poses questions about his degree of commitment and his attitude. And bear in mind, that this week there were stories in the Belgium papers saying that he'd actually cost Real Madrid 160 million euros, okay? Now, obviously, it's possible that that's not entirely true, but let's take that as read just for the time being. That would mean that last year, every single game that he played for Real Madrid in La Liga cost them 10 million euros. He was being paid 10 million euros a game, and how many goals did he get? One.
Yeah, and look, it's not the first time that he's had issues with his fitness. Mm-hmm. I mean, at what point is it fair to start to, if not criticize, at least question his commitment to the club? This is recurring.
It is. But if we just address the picture just real quick, it's obvious that he is pulling his shirt back and then it looks a little tighter than it should. Okay? All right. So I'm not going to defend.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
No, I'm not going to defend Eden Hazard whether he's out of shape or not, but I'm just telling you that particular picture does not apply. Now, in terms of Eden Hazard, we just mentioned Coutinho. His agent, Coutinho's agent, came out and said, you know what? Coutinho, instead of going on break, going on holiday, guess what he did? He came back to Barcelona, and he's been working in Barcelona since then. Since the end of Champions League, he came in. He's ready to go. He's excited about the opportunity. Even for the sake of perception, even for a message that you're sending to your teammates, to the club, to the fans, you're saying, guess what? You know, I'm going to be ready. And if that means that you don't go to Belgium knowing full well that you're not fully fit to participate with Belgium, then you tell Roberto Martinez, look, you know what? Give me a break here. I need to be ready. I need to prepare. I need to stay with Real Madrid and the guy who I'm going to work with on a daily basis in terms of fitness. And then, again, I'm not even talking about the possibility of him being fit or not. I'm just talking about the perception and the message that you're sending. Saying, I'm here, I'm fully committed to what I'm doing with the club, and I'm going to be ready to go from the first minute. Whenever that whistle blows, I'm going to be there. Be smart about it. That's all I'm saying. Use your head. Be smart about it. Coutinho did it. Maybe it works for him, maybe it doesn't. But the perception right now for Eden Hazard, it's not good.
All right, then, Sid, one more thing on Real Madrid. Gareth Bale, it sounds like Madrid are reportedly willing to pay half his salary. They'll subsidize it. They're only going to take 20-some million pounds for a player that they bought for much more than that. Is this the crack in the iceberg that will finally let Bale get out of Madrid?
You would think so, wouldn't you? And it's the beginning, I suppose, of an attitude from Madrid that says, look, we'll find a solution no matter what. That said, this particular version of the story is one that's denied by Gareth Bale's camp. They say that there is no chance of an agreement along those lines, that there has to be a full severance from Real Madrid for him to be able to walk away for free. Now, obviously, it's possible that clubs come in and offer the kind of transfer fee that Madrid would be interested in. But if anyone is offering a transfer fee, they're not offering to match Bale's wages. So I think we probably will be in a situation with him, as is the case with some of those guys at Barcelona that we were talking about, where his contractual situation has to be resolved first before he moves on somewhere else. And right now let's see if they waver between now and the end of the transfer window, which, as I said, is almost a month away. But right now, at least, Gareth Bale's position is this has to be basically settled in full before we move on.
Thanks, Sid. The extended transfer window means plenty of time to check out the Transfer Talk portion of our website for all the latest news and notes.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Premier League starts this weekend for everybody but Manchester City and Manchester United, thanks to their extended European seasons. There you see the list. Action starts on Saturday, running through Monday. For more, as we continue to preview the week's action, we welcome into the show Steve Nichol and Julian Laurent. Stevie, we have asked for your top six, your top scorer, your player of the year, and your relegated three. And look at this. First things first, let's talk about this picture. Look at that dashing young man. My goodness, what a head of hair.
At least 30 years ago. What?
Last time Liverpool won it all. All right, so he's got Liverpool as the champion, Manchester City second, United third, Chelsea fourth, Spurs fifth, Arsenal sixth, Kun Agüero, your top scorer, Kevin De Bruyne, your player of the year, Fulham, Aston Villa, West Brom going down. Stevie, I'm surprised you picked Liverpool. Why?
Yes. Well, I can sense a little bit of sarcasm in your voice, but, I mean, how could you not pick Liverpool? You know, considering that I think the main challengers are going to be City and Liverpool again, the fact that Liverpool finished 18 points ahead of City, and City have pretty much done nothing to change that in the starting 11, as have Liverpool not done anything. So all things being equal, I don't understand why you cannot go for Liverpool. Other than just a gut feeling or it's hard to win it twice in a row. After that, it was a lot tougher. You know, I think I went Man United third because they've shown us pretty much what their average game recently has been, a way above the level of what it has been. And that's why they ended up in third position. They were winning the games they should have done and struggled a little bit in games that against the big boys. So I think that's straightforward. Chelsea's fourth, and I've got Chelsea fourth because it's all about potential. You know, if you look at the signings, generally they're all attacking signings, all good signings. Havertz and Werner. I think Silva's a good signing at the back, but is a little bit long in the tooth. And the question for me is whether he can last the season. Outside of that, I really struggled. I went for Spurs and Arsenal only because, you know, Leicester had an incredible start last year and tailed off at the end. Wolves have been surprising us for two seasons. Can they do it again? And of course, the Mourinho factor with Spurs. I think Arteta is going to make Arsenal better. But how much better, I'm not so sure, because, listen, if there's one team that can't handle an injury to their best player, it's Arsenal, because without Aubameyang, I don't know where they end up. So that's the reason behind my top six.
Ali, I'll ask you the question that Stevie posed. Mm-hmm. How could you not pick Liverpool? Because you did indeed pick Manchester City.
I did. And the reason is, it was a perfect season.
What are you, 14 in that picture?
My goodness. My goodness.
Speaking of playing weight.
Let me tell you, this picture was at the Major League Soccer draft back in, I'm going to guess, 2001, 2002.
Wow. Like that. A generation has passed.
A generation has passed. What about that shirt? Don't say anything about the shirt, because the reason I wore it was because my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, I got me that shirt. So I
right. Right. So we won't say anything about the shirt.
Whether you like it or not, give it to yourself.
Can we get another look at your picks themselves?
Well, I go for Manchester City, and the reason is, I thought Liverpool's season last year was magical, was perfect. Everything went their way. There were no major injuries. Everything and everybody was playing up to their potential. And those seasons are difficult to have, certainly on back-to-back years. The other thing is that you also spent a good chunk of the second half of the season last year, as well as the early part of this year, hearing about how good you are, how wonderful you are. Everybody's patting you in the back. Everybody's telling you how most wonderful season that you had. And you're living on that. And so it's then very difficult to kind of turn up the engines again and get it going. And there are going to be moments in which you're going to need that hunger, that energy, all of that motivation that took you to have the season that you had last year. You're going to need it this year. And it's not always easy to recreate it. The magic within a locker room is not easy to recreate on back-to-back years. I've been there, and I have a sense that it's always kind of difficult to be able to replicate the sort of performances that they had. On the other hand, Manchester City found ways to lose games in key moments. And while it is the same group, essentially, that is coming back, this is a healthier version of that very same group. So maybe this is a moment in which Liverpool comes back to the pack, Manchester City plays up to their potential, and that's where Manchester City overtakes Liverpool.
Let's get a look at Jules' predictions for the upcoming season. You can play a little bit of a tiebreaker for us, since you and Stevie are split. And wow.
Oh man. I mean,
that takes the cake, right? That picture right there. Look at those locks.
Look at the hair. It's just, you imagine that hair in the wind? That's just flowing locks right there.
So Jules went City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, Spurs. Aubameyang is his top score player of the year. KDB, Fulham, West Brom, and Brighton to get relegated. First things first, you got Manchester United out of the top four. Uh-oh. Jules. Explain yourself, because you're the only one in this group to do so.
I mean, first the photo, that was before children and clearly as well before barbers existed. So I guess I've got an excuse, you know. For Man United, I think below City, Liverpool and Chelsea, I think the rest will be really tight between Spurs, United and Arsenal. I believe in what Arteta is trying to do, what he's doing at Arsenal. I like the signings that they've made. I like the fact that Aubameyang is staying, and I really expect him to have a very strong season. That's why I put him as the top goal scorer for me this year. But again, I think it will be very, very tight between the three. And I do wonder, I think United, as we saw at the end of last season when Solskjaer kept playing the same starting 11 because there was not enough depth in the squad. Yeah, okay, they bought Donny van de Beek, but I still don't think there's enough depth there for them to play Champions League football, Premier League, at that kind of level with the kind of energy that is required, really, because Solskjaer won't be able to really put a turnover in that team and rotate his players. So that's why I went for Arsenal fourth, and then United, and then Spurs.
Unlike Jules, you didn't have Arsenal in your top four. Why?
Well, because I thought that Manchester United and Chelsea were better. Simple as that.
That's it.
Manchester United trended in the correct direction towards the end of last season, and Chelsea have made a lot of good additions. The only reason that I have Chelsea as fourth and not higher than that is because it's going to take some time for all of that to come together. But in the end, they're going to be a better version of whatever Arsenal has to offer.
Don't miss tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC. We're back on your TV screens. Plenty more predictions as we push on towards the Premier League season.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevian Shepherd-Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
PSG opening their Ligue 1 title defense on Thursday and doing so without some of the biggest names in world football. No Neymar, no Mbappe, no Di Maria. There's seven players total listed there as well, out due to COVID-19. So how did it go for PSG in the first match of their season? Not well. Not only do they lose 1-0, they lose 1-0 to Lens, a team that was just promoted into the French top flight. For more, we welcome into the show Frank Leboeuf. Welcome back, Julien Laurent. Jules, I'll start with you. What's been the reaction around PSG just to the outbreak away from the football and what's happening with these players?
Well, privately, there was, I think, quite a lot of frustration from the club, from Leonardo as well, even if publicly tried to defend some of the players who got tested by saying that, yes, PSG players, I mean, six out of the seven that were missing tonight went out on holidays to Ibiza, which is a cluster for COVID. But Leonardo said, but other clubs, other players from other clubs also went there and didn't get it. However, it's very likely that Di Maria, Neymar, Navas, Icardi, Paredes and Marquinhos got the virus over there. They spend a lot of time together with their families. They partied together as well. And it's very likely that that's the case. And I think the club were happy to give them a few days off after the Champions League final before starting the league. This game tonight was postponed from late in August to tonight. But I think that frustration is justified because clearly the players should have been a bit more careful.
Frank, so many players missing for PSG. They're down, I believe, to their third choice goalie. We know the result was bad. What about the performance itself?
Well, the performance is in a way strange, where you have new players like Bulka in goal, Rhys and Kalim Mwenga as a striker, and they did well. I mean, they had 80% of the possession of the ball, but I think it's always the same problem with Paris Saint-Germain. You have no change of rhythm, and when you don't have Neymar or Mbappe, you feel that they only can play keeping the ball, not having any chances to score, maybe one with Rhys, and that's it. So they kept the ball. They had the ball sometimes for like 3-4 minutes without doing anything. No change of pace, no trying to go vertical. And that's what it is with Paris Saint-Germain and what we see when we have seen for years. So that's the main problem. And that I'm a little bit concerned because you have some big names. When I see Sarabia, Verratti, Ganagay, and Kimpembe, and some others, you can, you know, expect a better performance from them. So you have to say bravo to Lens. Lens is a big place where football is something very special. But still, you know, without 50,000 people and facing a team who's just been promoted, we could have expected much better in terms of results first.
Jules, we know you and your PSG ways. How worried are you?
I mean, it's worrying because because those players have been missing. They will miss, most of them will miss again on Sunday in the big game, the Classic against Marseille at the Stade Vélodrome as well. So it's not ideal to start the season in that way. Then they play again 3 days later. You don't know who will be there, in what kind of fitness, because obviously all those players that we've mentioned have been quarantined for 2 weeks in their home, not being able to training on their own in a garden, pretty much. So you don't really know what kind of fitness state they will be in. So that's a worry. In terms of the game tonight and the performance, you're worried because they're not playing well. You're worried because there's no plan B, because Thomas Tuchel hasn't given that team an identity. He's relied far too much on Mbappe, Di Maria, and Neymar, you know, when they've been playing. And I think that was the issue tonight. They should have done much better. They could have done much better. But yet there was nothing from the manager. Even his substitutions during the game, I thought, were dreadful. So, it's a bit worrying, to be honest.
Thanks, Jules. Plenty more from Jules on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Boys, joined this week by Mark Ogden.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, that's all for this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
You know you've missed me.
Time now for Extra Time, though. Oh. You're back.
That's how
so
much you missed
Jules,
me.
Oh. So is Stevie Nichol, and so are your questions off Twitter. Enjoy. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into the ESPN FC studios. Ale Moreno, Sebastian Salazar, joined by Julian Laron and Stevie Nichol. Full house from here and there on Extra Time. Plus, we have your questions. The first comes from Midu.
Okay.
Popular submission here. With the signings of Alan, Doucouré, and James Rodriguez, do Everton have one of the best midfields in the Premier League, Jules?
No, I mean that's as in the best of all the teams, or the best that Everton could offer recently. But I mean, yeah, Alan potentially could be a great signing if he goes back to, if he finds the form that he had 2 years ago at Napoli. But again, he hasn't played for a while now, and you're not really sure exactly what kind of Alan you're going to get. Of course, this weekend, so early, with Doucouré. Proven Premier League player, great guy as well, for me knowing him well, and I think he can have an impact. And then there's the James Rodriguez question mark, you know, what kind of form is he in? Can he really adapt to the Premier League and the way football is played in England compared to his qualities? I think he's got incredible talent, of course, but again, I don't know fitness-wise where he is. He hasn't played proper football for a while, so I'm not really sure if that could stand for the best Premier League midfield this season. awards.
I thought that giving the Everton question to Stevie would go bad, but who knew that Jules also hates Everton. Jules, is there a financial crisis at PSG?
You could have given it to it.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Stevie. Take your shot.
You could have given that. You could have given that to anybody, and it would have gone bad. Are you serious? And a team that was basically average Joes have been joined by two out of the three players who you have no idea what you're going to get. So what do you think they're going to end up looking like?
All right then.
So no is the answer, I think. No.
I do a good enough job asking dumb questions on this show. I don't need our producers to then give me dumb questions to ask an extra time, you know? It's just like, come on.
I'm going to go with a solid no, I think. Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. So who's dumber? Who's dumb and who's dumber? Because if it's a dumb question and you read it and then you actually go ahead and ask us it, does that mean he's dumb and you're dumber, or are you dumb and he's dumber?
I'm the dumbest because I have no clue what you just said. I you lost me there, Stephen, but I'm sure.
It's a lot of finger wagging going on there. Right.
All right, Jules, is there a financial crisis at PSG? Why aren't they spending any money?
Because they don't have it. It's
sorry, can I interrupt you there, please?
Hold on, let's go to our PSG insider, Stevie Nicol.
I'm sorry, Jules. You just reminded me of a story there.
Oh,
I was at Sheffield Wednesday, and we were having the... Hold on, honestly. It was to do with... It was a Christmas party, and there was two of the young lads who were in the reserves. And they were obviously a little tipsy, but they were arguing about which one was dumb and which one was dumber. And they were sitting there going, no, you're dumb. No, I'm dumb and you're dumber. And the other guy's going, no, I'm dumb and you're dumber. Honestly, it was absolutely hilarious. And they were dead serious as well. You just reminded me of that when I said that.
Stevie, the mental giant of the Liverpool dressing room.
Sorry, Jules.
Here's the thing, though. He brings up dumb and dumber, right? And then, so he reminded himself of his own story. Two stories for the price of one by Stevie Nicol.
Next time we do extra time, it'll just be Stevie by himself. Jules, is there a financial crisis at PSG?
There's no crisis. It's just they have to be careful with their money. They spent quite a lot on Mauro Icardi to make his move permanent from Inter Milan, the 60 million euros, which they believe is a fair and good price for him. But that meant that a lot of the chunk that they would have for the summer is gone. They've been hit hard by the pandemic, like a lot of big clubs. We heard Jurgen Klopp this week, you know, explaining why Liverpool were not spending either. And I think it's a similar picture there for PSG. That's why they get Florenzi on loan from Roma as a right back and can't go and spend 30, 35 million on somebody else like Bellerin or, I don't know, Castagne or whoever else they would want to sign ideally. And that's the reason. I think there would be money available for one more player, as in like over 30 million, maybe probably for more of a midfielder. But for the other positions, they have to be creative, to use the words that Leonardo used on Sunday night on French television.
Financial crisis at PSG just doesn't, not a sentence you'd ever thought you'd say. Ale, in your playing career, did your shirt number have any significance to you? Did you have the same number your whole time? Or?
I tried. I couldn't because I got traded a couple of times. And that
you traded?
Oh, yeah. It happened. Number 15. And it was what I wore with the national team, and it is what I wore when I was a little kid. And I still remember back in my school in Venezuela, the first time that I was going to play a competitive game, that the priest who ran the soccer department, if you will, for the school, was handing out this leather numbers that you had to sew into your uniform. And he gave me number 15. And so therefore, from then on now, that's the number that I always wanted to wear.
Guessing you would never give up your shirt number to a teammate, which we saw with Chelsea as Tomori gave it to Havertz. For the right price.
No, no, because for me it had a sentimental value, so no, I wouldn't have.
Come on, there gotta be a price.
There's no price. What do you?
I mean, it's just a number. Somebody offers you 100 grand, you're not gonna take it?
It's the emotion is priceless.
Oh my God, you're such a romantic.
The emotion is priceless, Seth.
Yeah, I bet.
It's just it's just a number. Tell that to Cruyff.
Thank you, Stevie, for that insight.
You know the best stories about number? The best story about numbers in France was when Karim Benzema was a young player in the national team, and he was wearing the number 9 at the time, but he wanted the number 10. He was desperate to wear number 10, and At the time, Sidney Govou, who he played with at Lyon before moving to Real Madrid, had the number 10. And Benzema go to see Govou and said, oh, do you mind if we swap numbers? I really want the number 10. And Govou said, like, no, I'm not giving. Number 10 is my number, I keep it. So Benzema went to see the kit man, the France kit man, behind everybody's back and said, oh, I spoke to Govou. And Govou said, yes, I can have his number. So the kit man really believed Benzema. So the next day when he did all the, you know, the numbers and the name behind the shirt to get it ready for the next game, he put Benzema number 10 and Govou number 9. So Govou rocks up at the game the day of the game, just walking in the dressing room, and he sees Govou number 9 and he went ballistic. And then they could not change. Obviously, it was too late. It was written on the team sheets and everything. And that's how Benzema ended up with the number 10.
There you go. Better ask forgiveness than permission. Jules, why are Manchester City sending Angelino back out on loan to Leipzig when City's main struggles are at the left-back position?
Clearly because they think Zinchenko and Benjamin Mendy are better. No, I'm only kidding. I don't know. It's hard to understand. Maybe Pep thinks that Angelino is better as a wing-back than as a full-back, and he's played a lot, you know, as a left-wing back for RB Leipzig, which is more their formation than just a simple back four at City. Maybe he doesn't think that defensively is good enough. Maybe he's thinking or hoping that a left-back will come to the club and that at some point they will sell Angelino and get that money back. I'm not really sure because, as we've been saying, not just now, but also last summer and also in January, left-back has been an issue for Manchester City, and for not addressing that position again and even letting Angelino go, I don't know, I think it's a bit of a strange one.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the same person that asked the first question?
It is. I told you he's prolific, or she's prolific.
We don't go through a screening process here.
Are you saying we should only get one?
No, we don't have enough people sending in pictures or questions. Or
I got like 100 today. I got like 100.
Clearly, all right,
can I tell you who's sending the next one, Ale?
Sure, go ahead.
Ale Moreno's diving school.
Well,
at Ale Diving for all those following along on Twitter.
Better be a good one then.
It's a question for Stevie. Were you ever unsure about whether or not you'd be able to break into the national team? Was there somebody who helped you out along the way?
No, I can't honestly say I was. A friend of mine who knew Jock Steen had told me a story that Jock had talked really highly about me and thought that I'd be the next young Scottish player to get in to the national team. And that basically it was a matter of me getting in the Liverpool side and then I would be included. So I kind of had a knees up, if you see what I mean, because I kind of knew that all I had to do was, but my goal was to get a game at Liverpool, and as soon as I got that game, then I would have been the Scotland squad.
A warm welcome like you get daily here on ESPN FC. Our next tweet comes from Stevie Love, shepherd's pie more than football. Did a coach ever ask you to play out of position, Ale? How did you take it, if so? You strike me as a one-position kind of guy.
No. I actually, so we were in Copa America 2011, quarterfinals against Chile.
Mm-hmm.
We're winning the game late, and so the coach calls me over and he's going to put me in. We got maybe about half an hour to go, 25 minutes to go. And he goes, I've seen you playing in this wide right position for the Columbus Crew. I think you can do a job. This is why the game is going on. I think you can go and do this job for us. Now give us a lot of work defensively and then an outlet down the right hand side when we win the ball. And I'm thinking I'm about to go in this game, perhaps at the time most important game in Venezuelan soccer history, right? We're winning 2-1 against Chile, Copa America quarterfinal. I have never played wide right in my life. But he saw it somewhere. And so, well, I went in and did a job. We closed out the game.
You didn't correct the coach. You didn't say,
no, I was going in. Yeah. What was I supposed to say? Hey, coach, I think you're wrong. I don't think you know what you're talking about. No, I went in and did a job.
There you go. Next question, also for you, Ale. Who would you choose to have in your team, a prime Mesut Ozil or Kevin De Bruyne?
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, not even.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Is it even a question? I feel like I'm so negative on Ozil now.
No.
But no.
I don't think it's as close as he's making it sound. I mean, maybe if you get Mesut Ozil from World Cup with Germany when he's running away
prime
from
Mesut Ozil,
England and Argentina. No, not
Ozil. No. All right, final question. And I want everybody to listen very closely. Stevie, have you ever had six-pack abs during your playing days? Not a six-pack, six-pack abs.
100% no.
Some of our questions have drawn real short and clear answers today, huh? No? Stevie, what happened?
No. Nope.
Ale?
I never did a set melee for anything like that.
No, I don't believe that. No, your physique, no chance you've never done it. That's all natural?
Yeah. Listen to the comedian now.
So bitter. So bitter, Stevie. I love you, Stevie. All right, so no six
dumb.
Pack.
Oh, sorry, I forgot, you're dumber.
Oh, that's a good one. You got me there, Stevie.
Let's go back to that one, that explanation.
Any other stories you want to chime in with, Stevie, from 4 years ago? All right, that'll do it for this edition of Extra
Time. Before you were born, you mean?
Yeah, before I was born. That's right, I am young. I'm the youngest member of the crew here at ESPN FC. I take a lot of pride in that.
Wow, it's not going to change.
No, it's not. They could always replace me.
Hey,
I've heard it's in the works.
You go and have a look in your... Hey, go into your bedroom and have a look in your mirror. See how proud you are then.
Stevie, that was over the top robes at the end of Extra Time. I can't even get a word in. Goodbye.
I'm sorry.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.